I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, Terry and Jesse Show, High Energy Catholic Radio. My partner Terry is out doing some apostolic work. This is Catholic Common Sense Radio. We're not right versus left. We are right versus wrong. And the words of St. Padre Pio, I believe, are words that would help every one of us, you know, as we journey through life to heaven. St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer. St. Padre Pio, pray for us. Several topics that I want to hit on today after we start off with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today at Holy Mass, the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed throughout the world. And as Catholics, this is a very, very good practice to become holier. For those of you that realize that we're under spiritual warfare attack constantly by the diabolical, one of the things that we should put into our war bag, our Catholic war bag, is reading the daily gospel reading. And this is the way, in fact, I'll just do it right now. I have time. Okay, I'm by myself on the show. Okay, so you can go to your iPhone, you can go on the internet, you can have get a devotional, a Catholic devotional, and you can pick up the readings of the Holy Mass, and you'd do this, okay? You'd make the sign of the cross, okay? Because this is a prayer. It's a prayer what I'm doing. So I go, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Then I would say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Then I go to the gospel. Okay? So I've made the sign of the cross, and I've asked God to teach me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's the prayer of Samuel the prophet to God, by the way. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, we read. And when you read, you want to see what word jumps out at you. What phrase jumps out at you. What the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. And what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now as you read God's word. Okay? So it says, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch. Simon said in reply, Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but it's your command I will lower the nets. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boats, in the other boat, to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Wow, that's a moment of repentance, a moment of contrition. Simon Peter gets before the knees of Jesus Christ, who's God incarnate, and he says something very penitential, something very Catholic, something that the Mass is loaded with, penitential prayers, especially the Latin Mass. I mean, Peter comes down and says, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. That's a good prayer. Peter's being totally honest. He's saying, Jesus, you're holy. You're holy, holy, holy. You're pure. You're immaculate. Lord, stay away from me. I'm a sinner. I'm dirty. I'm unclean. Okay? That's a total sign of somebody who's not narcissistic. Somebody who has humility. In fact, that's the grace of humility right there in action. And the Bible goes on to say, for astonishment at the catch of the fish they had made, seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. So notice, Peter, James, and John, of the 12 apostles, these three were what we would call the inner circle of Jesus Christ. They were his three confidants. Okay? The Bible goes on to say, Jesus said to Simon, this is Simon Peter, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. You know, I was a little bit afraid when I started almost 20 years ago, when I started evangelizing publicly, put out a business card, grabbed the website, and started basically in my heart resolving to serve Jesus Christ as a lay Catholic man, as a lay Catholic evangelist. It was a little bit scary. I mean, 20 years ago, there was no lay Catholic. I'll be honest with you. I'm the first person that ever used that word in the United States. Nobody ever used it. Then everybody, years later, I don't want to mention their names, I started seeing their websites. 10 years after me, they started using the name lay Catholic evangelist. I'm glad they did. But 20 years ago, when I put that up on my website and a business card, nobody used that word. And I said, well, why not? It's a New Testament word. I'm a baptized Catholic and I'm confirmed. And the Bible tells me 366 times, do not be afraid. And the Bible tells me to go fish for men. 20 years ago, I said, I got to come alongside our priests and our bishops. I got to help them because there's not enough of them. And some of them are just doing a poor job. Let's just be honest. And so I said, you know, there's people like Billy Graham and the Protestant denominations and all these other speakers in Protestant Christianity. I said, what about us as Catholic laymen? Why don't we step and help out our church? We got the fullness of truth. We got the fullness of the faith. I began studying, went back to school. And basically, when people said, we'd like to invite you to your parish, who do we tell people you are? I say, tell them I'm a Catholic evangelist. And so again, I broke ground with a new word 20 years ago. And now I'm glad to see there's a lot of people, a lot of my friends are using that word, a lot of lay Catholics. I look at their websites. 5, 10 years ago, now they're calling themselves evangelists. Good, I'm glad. Now, we have to remember, all of us are evangelists. All of us are evangelists with a small a, because the evangelists with a capital E are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the evangelists with a capital E. In fact, they wrote the four Gospels. You and I are evangelists with a small e through our baptism and confirmation. Another thing that jumps out in today's reading to me is the way Jesus and his three, the inner circle of the apostles, they're in these boats in the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Lake of Galilee. And they're in these boats and they're catching fish. The fathers of the church say that these boats represent the church. The church is like a boat. And what does the sea represent in this gospel reading? Well, in the Bible, the sea always represents the Gentile nations. The sea always also represents chaos, the waters of chaos. And so, as Catholics, the what's being taught here to us is pretty clear that the church is in the midst of this chaotic world, this Gentile world, and the church is like this sturdy boat. And the nets that the apostles are casting over, that's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the fish that they're catching, that's mankind, men, women, and children, who are embracing the message, the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. And what are we told? We're told in the Bible today, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. That's exactly what we're trying to do here in Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We're trying to be fishers of men and help you to be fishers of men. How? If you know your Catholic faith, then you're going to be able to share your Catholic faith. But you cannot live your faith if you do not know it. That's why it's important to know your faith so that you know what to share. And when you know your faith, it's going to help you live your faith. And your Catholic faith is a public thing. It's not meant to be left behind when you leave your home. And when you live your faith, the mandate of Jesus Christ, our master, the master said that we're called to spread our Catholic faith. Jesus Christ wants to bring the whole world into captivity to the truth. And the truth is Jesus himself. And so as Catholics, let's unite our prayers and our evangelization efforts to Our Lady, a 12-star general. And let's unite our prayers to the heels of our Blessed Mother. Let's unite our prayers to the sword of St. Michael the Archangel and deliver a powerful blow to the culture of death. Some people get discouraged. They say, you know what, Jess, we're outnumbered. Yeah, we're outnumbered. But one person and Jesus, that's an entire army right there. But don't be discouraged by the enormity of the task that lies ahead of all of us, the task of saving souls. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she recognized that her efforts and those of her fellow Sisters of Charity, she knew that it was an enormous task. But in her own words, she said this, quote, "Our efforts are a drop in a vast ocean of need," close quote. But Mother Teresa never wavered, and her legacy lives on today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, my name is Jesse Romero. Terry's out there doing some apostolic work today. We're going to talk about, is there a gay gene? No, there's not. Stay tuned. The gay gene argument.
This is Mary Danielle Barber, and I would like to invite you to join us here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina for a True Femininity Be Who You Are Women's Conference, Saturday, September 7, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Barbara Nicolosi and I will be speaking. It's $35 a person, and you can register at virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We hope to see you at the Women's Conference, September 7, 2019.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Bishop David O'Connell, and you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Ephesians 4:15. Speak the truth in love. Did you hear about that study that just came out which verified prior studies. This is nothing new. This is just a basically validation of other prior medical studies. The study says that there's no gay gene. So if you haven't heard, after a major scientific study found that there's not a singular genetic marker for homosexuality, a Catholic theologian explained that the findings are in full accord with Catholic teaching. So, the study was published August 30th in Science. It examined data from several large genetic data banks in multiple countries and surveyed nearly 500,000 people about their sexual partners and preferences. Previous studies on the matter have only examined sample groups of hundreds of people, so this is the largest sampling ever done. And Andrea Ghana, a doctor, a geneticist at Finland's Institute of Molecular Medicine, and the study's lead author, says, quote, "From a genetic standpoint, there is no single genetic distinction from opposite sex to same-sex sexual behaviors." Did you hear that? Okay. Dr. Andrea Ghana, a geneticist at the Finland's Institute of Molecular Medicine, says, from a genetic standpoint, there's no single genetic distinction from opposite sex to same-sex sexual behaviors. And speaking to Scientific American, Dr. Eric Villan, a geneticist at Children's National Health System in Washington, D.C., called the study's result, guess what? He says, this is the end of the gay gene theory. The end. All of this basically segues with Catholic teaching. Dr. Kevin Miller, professor at Franciscan University of Steubenville in Ohio, in an interview, said that these scientific results are in accord with the church's existing teaching about homosexuality. And if you're not sure what the church teaches on homosexuality, it's in three paragraphs of the catechism. It's very short. Okay, it's not a whole lot. Or should I say, not a whole lot is said. But the fact is that as Catholics, it's good. Good to read that. 2357 to 2359. So with the catechism, one of the things that it says is it says that the psychological genesis remains largely unexplained. So the new study doesn't change what the catechism says at all. It's incongruent with the catechism. The study also draws a distinction between people who engage in homosexual acts and those who identified as gay or homosexual. And that's a distinction that Dr. Miller noted was already central to the Catholic Church's teachings. And the catechism teaches that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered, and under no circumstances can they be approved. This is because, Dr. Miller said, only sexual acts oriented by their nature to the possibility of procreation and set within marriage are compatible with the essential moral virtue of chastity. And as St. John Paul II emphasized in both his pre-papal and papal writings, that is compatible with what's called caritas, or true love. But Dr. Miller from Steubenville, he did note that the homosexual tendency or inclination itself, the temptation, is not morally wrong, since a person does not choose to have an inclination or exercise their free will over having it. But central to the understanding is the distinction between sexual inclinations and acts. Dr. Miller said is that all sexual acts are freely chosen. Even if a person has an interior disposition towards engaging in homosexual acts, they have the same freedom to pursue them or not as a person inclined towards immoral acts with someone of the opposite sex. So in other words, we're all called to chastity, all of us. And there's several scientists and some of the members of the Broad Institute are part of the LGBT community. So several scientists, they have expressed concerns that the findings of this new study, that there's no gay gene, could give ammunition to people who seek to use scientific studies to buttress gender biases and discrimination against gay people. Okay? But the fact is, this study, all it does is validate what other studies have been saying for a long time. I remember there was a book years ago. I perused through it. It was called My Genes Made Me Do It by Neil and Breyer Whitehead. And the authors make it clear that no gene can do anything by itself. An unproductive behavior cannot be genetically enforced and also continue to exist in the population. In other words, our bodies are not programmed to engage in harmful behavior. Our bodies are programmed for survival. And so this book, My Genes Made Me Do It, they take on the biases that were done by Dr. Alfred Kinsey. Okay, he was also a sexual pervert. And the study reveals that people tend to move away from homosexual behavior with age. And Neil and Breyer Whitehead, in their book, they provide abundant documentation that homosexuals can move towards a heterosexual orientation, often with therapeutic assistance, sometimes without it. Because they say that for young people, oftentimes that sexual orientation is fluid, it's not fixed, so that it is impossible to argue that it is genetically predetermined. And these authors, they also provide another article showing studies of identical twins that prove homosexuality is not genetic. There was also a very famous doctor, may he rest in peace, Dr. Joseph Nicolosi. He had an institute called NARTH, the National Association for Research and Therapy of Homosexuality. 20 years ago, I used to go to his website all the time, and I would read all his scholarly journal articles on this topic. But here's what he's passed away. His son runs his institute. But here's what he essentially says on the topic of homosexuality. He says, quote, "There is no scientific research indicating a biological or genetic cause for homosexuality. Biological factors may play a role in the predisposition to homosexuality. However, the general scientific consensus is that homosexuality is due to a combination of social, biological, and psychological factors. Examples of social psychological factors include problems in early family relationships, early seduction leading to habituation, and a pervasive sense of alienation from same-sex peers with a resulting disturbance in gender identity. Our society, and particularly our schools, can influence a young person who questions his sexuality by actively encouraging him to label himself as gay or lesbian when he is still unsure and trying to sort out the meaning of his feelings." And guess what? Close quote. That's Dr. Nicolosi. And guess what? Bingo. That's exactly what's happening in a lot of our schools. A lot of our kids are just being told, you know, experiment with your bodies. You know, your sexuality is fluid. And so a lot of our kids, let's just remember, the brain isn't fully formed. The human brain isn't fully formed till about the age of 21, 22. And also, most young people, their conscience is not properly formed. So when you get a teacher or professor telling them, hey, you know what? You probably may be gay or lesbian. Go ahead and experiment with your body. First of all, that's beyond the purview of a teacher. A teacher's supposed to be teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic, as they say. But a lot of these schools have become basically seminaries to make our children pagans and atheists. Dr. Robert Spitzer, he was one of the giants in this field. He was an instrumental figure in the American Psychiatric Association's 1973 decision to remove homosexuality from its diagnostic manual of mental disorders. And he announced a new study that has altered his beliefs on the issue. In 2001, he says, "Like most psychiatrists, I thought that homosexual behavior could be resisted, but sexual orientation could not be changed. I now believe that's untrue. Some people can and do change." So guess what? So Dr. Spitzer, he used to say that homosexuality was a mental disorder. But what happened? There was political pressure and a lot of money from the homosexual community And so Dr. Spitzer, who was in his 80s, he has Parkinson's disease and has been traumatized by the outpouring of hate directed at him because of his study. Back in 1973, he removed homosexuality from the diagnostic manual. But in 2001, he says, you know what? I was wrong. Homosexuals can change. But then he was lambasted by the liberal progressives and social media. So he's basically recanted his position out of fear. But again, the studies are on our side that there's no gay gene. Dr. John Riggs, he also published an academic journal article calling the health risks of gay sex. And he says, research designed to prove that gays and lesbians are born that way has come up empty. There is no scientific evidence that being gay or lesbian is genetically determined. Okay? So again, that's just another honest academic. And that's all we pray for is just honesty. Dr. William Bine and Dr. Bruce Parsons, they also put out an academic journal back in 1993. It's called the Archives of General Psychiatry, and they said, quote, there is no evidence at present to substantiate a biological theory of sexual orientation. The evidence supporting the born that way claim of gay activists is lacking. It had been uncritically accepted and hyped up in the media. On the other side is a body of scientific evidence that suggests that homosexuality is adopted by people who are confused, sexually adventurous, and or rebellious. This evidence suggests that sexual orientation is flexible, not immutable. You also have another doctor, Dr. Jeffrey Satinover. He also published another article called Is There a Gay Gene? And he says, nope, no scientific evidence to indicate that. You also have the American Psychological Association, who back in 2009, they changed their tune as well on the nature of homosexuality. The American Psychological Association has also said there's no homosexual gene to be found. You have an Israeli doctor, Dr. Avoda Offit. He's a Cornell University Medical School. He's the coordinator of sex therapy in the consultation center at Lenox Hill Hospital. He also said the same thing. He says, in the absence of firm scientific data indicating whether or not homosexuality is biologically predetermined, it seems to me that we should accept it as a choice that people make and decide on their own. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't change that dial. More to come.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a wow. week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Hey, let's not forget that God has established the Catholic Church, the one true religion, and the Catholic Church is the teacher when it comes to faith and morals. But our church is not an expert on science. Our church is not an expert on politics. That's not within the church's purview. The church gives moral teachings, moral parameters, moral. The church is like the moral conscience of society, but the church is apolitical. Having said that, I don't know if you've heard that Pope Francis, he claims that the climate is in a state of emergency, and he's asking the world to abandon fossil fuels. Pope Francis has called upon the world to give up fossil fuels, claiming that the climate is in a state of emergency and that this has been caused by human activity. In his message for the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, an ecumenical celebration held on September 1st, the Argentine pontiff encouraged the world to adopt simpler lifestyles and to abandon fossil fuels. The Pope said, "Now is the time to abandon our dependence on fossil fuels and move quickly and decisively towards forms of clean energy and a sustainable and circular economy." Now, here's my take. I don't think the Holy Father wrote that. I think somebody wrote that for him. Okay, I don't think he has, again, to weigh in on something like that. I don't think he spends time researching this. He's got so many other things to do. I think one of his advisors wrote this for him. Be that as it may, James Taylor, who's the director of the Robinson Center on Climate and Environmental Policy at the Heartland Institute, respectfully, this is an education organization, a research and an education organization. Dr. James Taylor said the following in an interview. He said, quote, "The Vatican should be careful when making theological pronouncements on certain worldly issues like the use of fossil fuels." And that's a good point that Dr. Taylor's making. He says, Dr. Taylor says, quote, "Pope Francis' desire for humans to be good stewards of creation is admirable." I agree. We agree. But Dr. Taylor writes, "But as a theological entity, rather than an entity with particular scientific or economic authority and expertise, the Vatican should be careful about assigning theological weight to particular economic theories or scientific questions." Dr. Taylor says, "Forcing people off of abundant, affordable energy and imposing expensive, unreliable, unclean energy sentences too many people in the world to perpetual poverty and all the human misery that accompanies it." Dr. Taylor added that there's nothing clean about the environmentally devastating mining of rare earth minerals necessary for wind and solar power equipment. And Dr. Taylor observed that the deaths of millions of birds and bats can be blamed on wind turbines. He also suggested that hundreds of square miles have been destroyed to make room for enough wind turbines to produce the same amount of energy as a single power plant. Now, Dr. Taylor says, "I do share Pope Francis' desire for humans to be good stewards of the environment," of course, because that's biblical. But Dr. Taylor says, "I hope that the Vatican will avail itself of better information if it decides to weigh in on the science and economics of particular energy sources and environmental impacts." Steve Mosher, who's the Catholic, he's the president of the Population Institute. He says that oftentimes the real science of, you know, climate change, global warming, it can get drowned out by polemics. Steve Mosher, a friend of the show, he says that when scientific questions are heavily politicized, as questions concerning the cause, extent, and threat of global warming are, real science tends to get drowned out by polemics. Steve Mosher said that the world needs fewer grand pronouncements on climate change and more research into the Earth's environment. Steve says, right now, we can't even predict the path of Hurricane Dorian with any certainty. How can we possibly predict what the climate will be 100 years from now? None of us will be here. And the article says that the alarmist tone of the Pope's message does not sit well with everyone. Some fear that Pope Francis's blessing of the worldwide environmentalist movement emboldens those who want to reduce the human population. And that's exactly my point that I'm going to give you my analysis right now after the article. The article says, and when there's difficulty of doing without fossil fuel, Becky Williams, a geologist on an oil rig in North Dakota, said in an interview, it would be impossible to give up fossil fuels right now or even in 10 years from now. Truth is that we can't. It's not that simple. 10 years is not long enough. Oil is the lifeblood of our modern way of life. Everything we use and wear and touch and eat is because of oil. Becky Williams, a PhD in geology, says, it's not just the lights and gas for cars. It's the plastic. It's the plastic to package our food. It's the spandex we wear. It's the cheap avocados we eat. Dr. Becky Williams noted, however, that oil is not an unlimited resource, as most people think, and people need to look for ways to reduce our dependence on it. The Pope's position on climate change, it was enunciated back in 2016 when he was celebrating World Youth Day. He called it the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. And the Pope, back in 2016 at the World Day of Prayer, he called on all Catholics to go to confession for sins of not being respectful of creation. I'll be honest, I haven't confessed that, but that's just me. The Pope also gave as an example of an examination of conscience, he points to things such as, quote, avoiding the use of plastic and paper. He says another thing that we could do to examine our conscience is separating refuse or turning off unnecessary lights. He called on Catholics to have an ecological conversion. And in his 2015 encyclical, Laudate Si, Pope Francis said climate change represents one of the principal challenges facing humanity in our day. See, this is an area where we can disagree with the Holy Father. As Pope Benedict has said, there are certain times when the Pope is not speaking on faith and morals, you can disagree with him. And if you see things different, if you've never went to confession and confessed the use of plastic and paper, or if you've never confessed separating your recycling stuff from the garbage, or if you've never confessed turning off unnecessary lights, you know, every single examination of conscience that I've seen doesn't include those things as sins. So I'm on safe ground if I've never confessed them, and I'm on safe ground if I have another opinion on this, by the way. So in fact, Cardinal Pell, back in 2015, right after the Pope came out with his encyclical on the environment, Cardinal Pell, who was one of the Pope's advisors, he said right after the encyclical came out, he said that the Catholic Church is not an expert on science. It's not. No, that's an opinion. And let's just be honest. Climate change or global warming, whatever you want to call it, it has nothing to do with Catholic teaching. So I'm not being disrespectful here. I'm being Catholic. Climate change has nothing to do with Catholic teaching, and it's still being hotly debated by scientists. So this is not settled science. Gravity settled science. If I throw something up, it's going to come down. That's settled science. Climate change, global warming is still being hotly debated. So the Pope's opinion on climate change is not an issue on faith and morals. This has nothing to do with fundamental Catholic teaching. Climatology is not theology, so no Catholic is bound to believe anything outside of faith and morals. Okay? And again, just, of course, the Pope has his opinion, and we have to be respectful of that. The only global warming I'm worried about is when Jesus comes back. Are you ready? That's the global warming alert that I'm worried about, when Jesus comes back. I'll deal with everything that that nature throws at us with by faith and by reliance on God. But this whole man-made climate change, it really is poor science, and it's even worse theology. In fact, last year, truth be told, 2018, last year, the United States had the largest percentage decline in CO2 emissions in the entire world for the 9th time this century. And we did it even though we left the Paris Climate Accord. And so the U.S. is definitely doing its part. Saving the earth is noble, but it doesn't get you to heaven. And all this talk about man-made climate change, let me tell you, let me plug into this. Man-made climate change is poor science, and it's even worse theology. This anthropocentric climate change talk is a lot of smoke and mirrors meant to advance a phony science to achieve an evil agenda. What's the real agenda behind all this climate change and propaganda? What the real agenda behind all this is population control. Hey, this population control, that's the end game. When you hear stuff about climate change and global warming, it should immediately set off your Catholic warning bells when the world's rich and powerful and famous, who's with their social engineering plans, are the ones that are yammering about this nonstop, and they want to fund all this, and they want to push all these governments to take action. It's these same rich and powerful that have one goal in mind, at least in the short term. You know, they say they want to end poverty. Yeah, you know how they want to end poverty, the rich and famous? By ending the poor. How do they want to end the poor? They want to abort and contracept the poor out of existence and crush them underfoot. So the whole climate change crowd are nothing more than Margaret Sanger and her birth control movement reincarnated. Faithful Catholics, we need to think long and hard about not only the science, but the forces behind this stuff and what they're trying to accomplish. My name is Jesse Romero. Terry's off doing some apostolic work. Hey, we're going to continue talking about the most amazing Catholic country in the world. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people, you know, I got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. Hey, are you a narcissist? There's an article we have on vmpr.org, also my website, jesseromero.com. The article says, are you a narcissist? Here are 11 things you should ask yourself. It's a very interesting article. Maybe it'll, if you read it, that's like an examination of conscience. You'll have to go to confession after that. I think all of us, every now and then, we fall into narcissism. And it's rooted on the sin of pride. Also, did you hear about that the Pope said as he was boarding a plane, he was boarding a flight to Maputo, Mozambique, over in Rome's International Airport. These are a couple of poor countries, some of the world's poorest countries. And Pope Francis, it says here in the article, acknowledged his growing opposition within the conservative right wing of the U.S. Catholic Church and said in offhand remarks aboard the papal plane Wednesday, he said, quote, it is an honor if the Americans attack me, close quote. It's an honor if the Americans attack me. See, this is why we need to pray for the Pope every day. Every day. Pray for, even if you don't go to daily masses, pray for him every day. Because with all due respect, this statement is unbecoming of a pope. It is. The pope is the holy father for the entire Catholic Church, including American Catholics. And if American Catholics respectfully disagree with the holy father on issues that are not faith and morals, based on Canon 212 that we can respectfully, based on the example that we see from Paul confronting Peter in the book of Galatians, then it's really unbecoming of our Holy Father as the patriarch of all of Christianity to say it's an honor if Americans attack me. In other words, if American Catholics, you know, disagree with him on climate change, that's not attacking him. It's just we're exercising our right according to canon law. But be that as it may, let me just mention that this Saturday, I'm going to be speaking at St. Juan Diego Church over in Chandler, Arizona. This Saturday, I'll be speaking at St. Juan Diego Church at 6:30 p.m. That's in Chandler, Arizona. You can go to my website if you want more information. I'm going to be speaking on my new book, The Devil in the City of Angels. It's going to be a spiritual warfare talk. It starts at 6:30 p.m. Also, I want to invite the audience. I'd like to hang out with a bunch of you guys. I'd like to hang out with all of you if I could, but we can only take 50 to this trip that I'm going to be going on. May 13th to May 22nd, 2020. This is the 100th year celebration of the birth of St. John Paul II. We're going to Poland. I'm going to lead a pilgrimage to Poland with Father Arturo Bassan. He's a young Catholic priest from the Diocese of Oakland, who is going to be doing the Latin Mass every day with us. He's a very traditional young Catholic priest. We'll have spiritual direction, daily confession, and we're going to be visiting some of the most incredible sites in Poland. The reason I want to go to Poland because, and I want you to come with Anita and myself. We want you to come and spend 9 days with us and just immerse ourselves in prayer and immerse ourselves in the Catholic faith. The land of Poland has given us in the 20th century some of the most incredible Catholic saints. Think about St. Faustina, Poland. St. Maximilian Kolbe, Poland. Blessed Edith Stein, Poland. St. John Paul II, Poland. Poland is arguably the most Catholic country in the world. That's why I'm going next year on a pilgrimage to Poland, May 13th to May 22nd, because I want to set my feet on the most Catholic country in the world before I die. And it's going to be the 100th birthday of St. John Paul II. If you want information, go to my website. The flyer's on my website, jesseromero.com, jesseromero.com. The flyer is on my website. I'm looking for 50 hardcore Catholics to hang out with for 9 days. Daily Mass, daily Rosary, daily Divine Mercy, and just immerse ourselves in Catholic thought and Catholic conversation for 9 days, praying at the tombs of some of the holiest 20th century saints. Here's some of the things that attract me about Poland. If you're wondering, you said, Jess, why do you want to go to Poland, okay? Here's number one. I don't know if you realize this, that 3 years ago, the prime minister of Poland, that's the equivalent of our president, Poland's prime minister and all their politicians, along with all the Polish bishops, all united, church and state united, they publicly declared Jesus Christ as King of Poland. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, is officially, it's through executive order, the Prime Minister of Poland has declared him the King of Poland. And by the way, it's only fitting that they did this, and that's why I'm going to go to Poland May 13th to the May 22nd. The flyer's on my website. Go to my website. Here's the flyer right here. I want you to go with me to the most Catholic country in the world. Hang out with me and Anita for 9 days. Poland also, 300 years ago, they also crowned the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady of Częstochowa. They crowned her as the queen and protector of Poland. This was done by Pope Clement the 11th. Okay? 300 years ago. And so, according to the tradition, the icon of Our Lady of Częstochowa was painted by St. Luke or St. John. That's the tradition of the church, that St. Luke or St. John painted this icon on a table made by Jesus Christ. And this icon shows two slashes on the face of Mary left from when the image was seized and attacked by a soldier of the Hussites, and repeated attempts to repair the scars have failed as they continue to appear on the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa. The dark icon of the dark skin of the icon is attributed mostly to age and to exposure to smoke from candles. But in 1635, when Poland was almost entirely overrun by King Charles X of Sweden, only the area surrounding the monastery of Jasna Góra, where the image was located of Our Lady of Częstochowa, it remained unconquered. The monastery remained unconquered. And after this, King John II, Casimir Vasa, he crowned the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa as Queen of Poland. So this image was canonically crowned by Pope Clement the 11th on September 8th, 1717. Our Lady of Częstochowa was crowned as Queen of Poland. And again, by St. Pius X in 1910, Our Lady of Częstochowa was crowned as Queen of Poland. And again, by St. John Paul II in 2005. What else is cool about Poland? I want you guys to come with me and Anita to Poland and Father Arturo Bassan, May 13th and May 22nd of 2020. Okay, the flyer's on my website, the front page. Poland's prime minister wants a total ban on abortion without exception. Is that amazing? Also, did you know that Poland's bishops denounce George Soros-funded campaign against the Catholic Church in Poland over homosexuality? So the Polish bishops are denouncing George Soros by name. And here's another cool thing why I'm going to Poland, me and Anita, May 13th to May 22nd. The prime minister of Poland's, his son, was just ordained a Catholic priest about 3 years ago. Okay? Can you imagine the way St. John Paul II is surely smiling from heaven that there's another son of the church, another Polish son of the church that's a Catholic priest, nonetheless the son of the prime minister. Here's something else cool about Poland, okay? Poland has taken to the streets, the lay Catholics, and they've put Muslims on notice. They've told the Muslims very, very forcefully in rallies in public. They've said, hey, here in Poland, Jesus is our king. If you don't accept Jesus, get out. We don't accept Muhammad. We don't accept the Quran. If you don't accept Muslims, you're welcome to stay here. But if you don't accept Jesus as our is your king, get out. Okay? Leave. The border is right to your left. And don't let the door hit you on your way out. So the Polish Muslims are jealously defending their country. Also, did you know that a million Christians, Catholic Christians, they prayed the rosary in 2017 on Poland's border, commemorating the historical defeat of Islam at, it was at the Battle of Austria under King Sobieski. And so in 2017, all the Polish Catholics, they went to the borders of Poland. They prayed the rosary, commemorating the historical defeat of Islam and driving Islam out of their country. Also, the Polish prime minister has said clearly that there can be no strong Poland without strong families. And also, did you know that President Trump wants to put a military base in Poland to deter Russia? And the Polish people want an American base there. And they want to call it Fort Trump. And the fact is, you know what? Poland is countercultural. This is why me and Anita are going there 9 days with a very holy Catholic priest. I want to bring 50 hardcore Catholics with me. Spend 9 days together in God's word and history, growing holy, praying together, daily mass, May 13th to the 22nd. Go to my website. I want 50 people, hardcore Catholics, to come with me. 50 people from the church militant. Something also interesting about Poland, I don't know if you realize, is that Poland is winning the modern age, and we could do the same thing as Americans. Poland is closing all businesses on Sundays. Is this microphone on? Did you hear what I just said? That way Poland gets people to go to mass on Sundays. How? Poland is closing all businesses on Sundays. And also, let's not forget, when I go to Poland, we're going to be visiting all the Catholic martyrs of the Holocaust. Poland is front and center in the persecution by the communists and the Nazis. Poland is front and center. And we're going to go and we're going to visit the shrines of all the martyrs of the Holocaust. We're going to be praying for their intercession. And the fact is, even President Trump went to Poland, gave an outstanding speech, and he noted that the Polish people, they fought for their independence as well. And President Trump said about Poland, quote, just as Poland can never be broken, I declare today for the world to hear that the West will never, ever be broken. Our values will prevail, our people will thrive, and our civilization will triumph. And I say all of this, I encapsulate it in Jesus' name. Hey, my name is Jesse Romero. We'll be back tomorrow, same Christ time, same Christ channel. And remember, most important thing, live in a state of grace and die in a state of grace. Don't die in mortal sin. Don't live in mortal sin. America, wake up to Jesus. Don't hit the snooze button. Global warming alert. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Know your faith. Live your faith. Spread your faith. I don't care if you're 5 or 105. Get holy or die trying.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.